What's up? This is Movies on Up. Love makes monsters of us all. I'm Dave, joined by my loving monster of a co-host, Mr. Ryan.
I don't really know how to respond to that, so.
He's Ryan, I'm Dave. We are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, love makes monsters of us all. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or Twitter, @moviesonup. If you're right, and we pick you, you will hit the peak of your life and win a Movies on Up prize package. This week, It Chapter 2 comes out. It was awesome. We've talked about it a lot. We talked about it last week in preparing for and talking about this week's episode. We've done an episode on it. It's the adults. And I didn't mention it when we were talking about this episode last week because I figured I'd bring it up this week. The It miniseries had the kids and the adults interspersed back and forth. And I like the approach they took with the movie of doing
the kid story
and then the adults as a separate movie. It has come out. Andy Muscicelli is going to cut together one version of the two movies, which I think will be awesome. But it was the right way to do it now, is to give us both of them first.
Yeah, theatrically, I think it makes sense, especially with something this long. If you're not going to go the route of a miniseries or a limited series, this is the only way you could tell that story and have it make sense and have people not mad when they leave the theaters. Yeah.
But, I mean, the adult cast is great. James McAvoy, James Ransone.
Hader.
Bill Hader.
The Old Spice guy.
I keep forgetting his name, and I wanted to mention his name, and I completely forgot it. Isaiah Mustafa, that's it. Yeah, I knew it would come to me. But then Jessica Chastain as Sophia Lillis.
Beverly.
Beverly. It's an episode I've wanted to do for a while, just waiting for an...
Oh, we've had chances too, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like she doesn't make movies.
Yeah, and I've always liked Jessica Chastain. I remember she had that... The year Zero Dark Thirty came out, I was really into her that year because I thought...
So were a lot of people.
Yeah, but I mean, she kind of blew up. When she blew up, she blew up. She went from kind of relative unknown to like... Oh, she's one of the greatest actresses working. And this will come up a lot, but like, it's hard to watch a Jessica Chastain movie that's centered on Jessica Chastain and not think at the end. If you didn't know anything about Oscar stuff, I feel like somebody who knows what the Oscars are but don't follow them would watch a Jessica Chastain movie and think like, oh, I assume that movie got nominated for a lot of Oscars. Because she makes quality stuff. So we're doing our favorite Jessica Chastain movies. I'm excited for it. I love her to death. I think she is fantastic. So I'm excited to go into this list. And I was a little afraid.
You're going to have a lot of crossover?
Well, not just that, because I'm not afraid now. I was afraid of like, okay, I really like Jessica Chastain. There's this handful that come to mind.
Yeah.
What if it's only those? What if I only love her because of those handful? And then I get into her filmography and it's like, oh, okay. As much as I love Jessica Chastain, I like Jessica Chastain more than I thought. Like, I was able to get my five and a handful of also-rans. So.
There's a lot to pick from, but I think there is a pretty clear line between the ones that are on my list and the ones that are not.
A lot of times with these lists, it's like, do we put the movie we like the most, or do we put the person the list is about is in it the most, or their best performance?
Sometimes
it's a bit of both. This one, like, my five are Jessica Chastain movies, and my also rans are pretty much movies that Jessica Chastain was in.
Yeah,
and this is the most divided list that's split like that. Like, my five are Jessica Chastain movies,
and 100%. That's why I think we might have a fair amount of crossover, because there are a lot to pick from, but the ones, because a lot of times, spoiler alert, we tend to think alike. And the ones that we like, I think we both kind of like. They may not be in the right order, the same order, but I would be surprised if we didn't have a few that were crossed over. Like my number five, I got a good feeling or bad feeling, depending on how you look at it, that Jeff Nichols's Take Shelter is probably on your list somewhere.
It was an also-ran.
Oh, fair
enough. Because
it's
a Michael Shannon movie.
It is.
I mean, she's phenomenal in it.
Right.
But it's a Michael Shannon movie.
Yes, she plays opposite Michael Shannon in 2011's Take Shelter. So this was pretty early.
Right, as she's...
Yeah, she was the storm on the horizon.
Because this was around when this podcast started. Because I remember we both really liked it and really liked Michael Shannon in it. I'm sure we liked her in it, but it wasn't like she wasn't in our mind build like Michael Shannon, because I don't think we were.
No,
we had seen her in stuff. But
this
not,
is pretty
yeah,
much my introduction, to her. Like you mentioned, we started the show in 2012, and early on in the podcast, Jeff Nichols was getting a lot of run as an up and coming director. And he was making some really interesting character pieces that had some fantastic performances. Take Shelter and Mud came out in back-to-back years. Michael Shannon and Matthew McConaughey each turn in really, really good performances. And like you mentioned, Take Shelter is 100% a Michael Shannon jam, but Chastain stands in there with him. This was really early in her career, and it was the first time I remember noting, holy shit, she's really good. She's at odds with her perhaps mentally unstable husband, and it could be easy to get washed away in the intensity storm that is Michael Shannon, specifically in this movie. But she hangs in there and makes Sam a really strong character capable of matching that force of nature that is Shannon. Nichols does a wonderful job of showing us what may or may not be a descent into complete madness, and how that affects not only a family relationship, but the rest of a small town, how they react to a madman. It's a slow burn with a couple really smoldering performances. If you've ever wondered why we talk about Michael Shannon so much, this is it. It's a good one to watch to see that Chastain absolutely belongs on that level. And she basically told us that in 2011.
He's so good in that movie, but she plays off of that so well, is that thinks he's crazy, but still supportive. It feels real because she struggles with it a lot. And just that last shot of that movie where she comes out and you see the storm coming and it just ends on her reaction. It's an awesome movie. It was an also ran for me because I do like all my top five. Like, it's one of those where it's like, yeah, that could absolutely be up there because I love that movie. My number five is 100% a Jessica Chastain movie, though. It's from 2016, directed by John Madden, not the football guy, the director of Miss Sloan, starring Chastain, John Lithgow, Allison Pill, Mark Strong's in there, Sam Waterston. It's Jessica Chastain as Miss Sloan taking on the gun lobby. And she's fierce. She's ruthless. A thing that comes up when I talk about a lot of my favorite actors, and Michael Shannon is a word that I've always associated with him, is intense. I love intense actors that give just extremely intense performances. She does that here. As Miss Sloan, the performance she gives in this movie is just as intense as any male performance you will ever see. She is a badass in this movie, and she's not a good person. But she's a bad person with good intentions, so you still want her to win. And there's some good twists and turns in this movie. It kind of got overlooked. She got nominated for a Golden Globe for it, but not an Oscar, which is strange. It's a really, really good movie, though. Just a scene at the end where the depths of what she will do and how nobody is more important than her goal. But then you kind of learn that she does kind of care about people, and there is this heart in there somewhere that she does a very good job of hiding. And it's the kind of movie that falls flat with an okay performance. But if you get one of the best actors alive giving one of her best performances, it delivers.
My number four is the aforementioned, sort of, Crimson Peak from 2015, starring Mia Wasikowska, Jessica Chastain, Tom Hiddleston, Charlie Hunnam, directed by Guillermo del Toro. It is a movie that folks tend to love or hate. Those that hate it cite it as an example of style over substance, and the style argument is absolutely there. It's beautiful to look at, as many of Del Toro's movies are. But for me, what it really comes down to is expectations. When you hear that Del Toro is going to direct a horror movie after spending quite a bit of time on more action-heavy stuff like Pacific Rim and Hellboy, you can't help but think of something like Pan's Labyrinth. And that sets your expectations. Oh, this is going to be scary. But what folks didn't pick up on was it was a gothic horror movie. And that's something that was front and center the whole time. He never led people to think that this was going to be a horror movie. I mean, it is everything that I love about the Hammer movies from the 1960s just a modern and neo Hammer movie, if you will. It's not about scary monsters or a high body count. It's atmosphere and mystery. And Pete hits on both. Wasikowska is really, really good. She's got the vulnerability needed to carry off this kind of character. And Chastain, you mentioned it in Miss Sloan, like she's not particularly a good character or a good person. She's not here either. Spoiler alert, she's kind of the villain, which you get pretty early on. And she is menacing. She is very much the heavy to Wasikowska's character. I really like this movie. I would say it's probably even more love story than it is horror movie. And if you go into it thinking that way or with those expectations, I think you'll like it more. If you're expecting terrifying monsters, then this is probably not the movie for you.
But if you do want a scary horror movie starring Jessica Chastain, boy, do I have a number four for you. From 2013, directed by the aforementioned Andy Muschietti, director of It and It Chapter 2, it is Mama, starring Jessica Chastain and Nicola Coster-Waldau, or otherwise known as Handsome Knight with one hand. They're a couple that take in their nieces and whatever comes with their nieces. This was produced by Del Toro, so Muschietti's essentially a Del Toro disciple, and it has his hands all over it. Like, it feels like what people wanted
Crimson Peak to be.
Like, it feels like what people that didn't read up on it thought it was gonna be, and it delivers. It's creepy, it's terrifying, it's heartbreaking, it's hard to watch. It's one of those that you see once and it's like, yeah, I've seen it. That's all I need. I don't really need to go through that again. It's intense. She's really, really good in it. Much better than Handsome Knight. He's okay, but she's hard to act against because she's so damn good. And this is her being that intense. You know, she's not really an unlikable character in this one like she is in some, but she's just trying to do best for these kids. And sometimes there's forces involved that make that hard. Mama from 2013. It's, you know, we used to have this thing where your big time actresses, like
a
rite of passage, had to do a horror first. And this really wasn't that. This was just her doing a horror because
she was already like a pretty big time star at that point.
This was just her doing it because it was a really good story and she liked the director. It's a good primer for It Chapter 2, I think, to watch this and see how she works with Muschietti. And this is 6 years later, they've remained close, and she was the no-brainer choice. So I'm excited to see this carry on.
I do feel much better about the possibility of not having a lot of crossover. Because as I'm looking... As I'm looking at my next couple movies, I'm like, yeah, these are both ensemble movies. So they're not going to be on Dave's list. Specifically, my number three is one that probably we could have left off, but I happen to...
I can tell you what it is, probably.
I'm sure you can. Yeah. I really like The Martian. Yeah. Ridley Scott's 2015 film starring Matt Damon, Jessica Chastain, and then we could just keep going. Kristen Wiig, Jeff
Donald
Daniels.
Glover.
Yeah, there's a ton of people in this movie. And it's made a few lists here and there. And it is a Matt Damon movie. And it's also
100%, yeah.
Absolutely. But in the same breath, it's also an ensemble movie.
The ensemble is so good.
And I don't know how you do that.
No.
How you make a movie that is about one man, but the rest of it makes it feel like an
ensemble
movie.
Because how you do it, and this is a formula that takes this kind of director and takes this kind of story, and a lot of times it would have Matt Damon and then character actors play the rest of the things.
Sure.
And it's just Matt Damon is the star, and these character actors show up and they do their job. But you have
Matt Damon and the Damonettes.
Matt Damon, and then these top-notch actors, any one of them could head this kind of movie. If you swap out Watney and Jessica Chastain, it's still an awesome movie if she knows how to make potatoes. But the whole cast, they're really, really good. It was the detail to that supporting cast and not just putting actors out there to fill roles. You put legit Sebastian Stan, Kate Mara, like people at Chiwetel.
Michael Pan,
like everybody there could lead movies and has led movies. Your top build down to like 15 are people that know how to carry a movie. And that's how you build an ensemble when it's built around one person.
And they give the ensemble stuff to do. Chastain's character leads the Ares 3, which is the ship that's going to come back and rescue him.
Pena's fantastic.
He's good. You have the NASA leadership team. You've got the JPL scientists. And each group really does get to play a pivotal role in rescuing Watney. So it makes it, as much as it is about this guy, you also get to see the rest of the team really having their moment in this rescue mission. It's not just Castaway where Tom Hanks gets himself off the island. No, this is about a really well-developed group of people that come back to get him. It is a movie that no character is wasted, including Chastain. So as much as it is Matt Damon's movie, you know all these other people. Like, you know Donald Glover is the
guy
that figures it out.
It's like 10 minutes of this movie. But for those 10 minutes, he's so strong, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, nobody has wasted screen time on there.
It's one of the
Mackenzie Davis.
It's like, probably the most charismatic movie ever. Everybody we've listed is just screams charisma, and it comes out in this movie. Like, they're not buried. I mean, Kate what?
Yeah, that's it. Kate Mara does not scream charisma to me. Neither does Sebastian Stan, but they're both really good.
Well, but that's what I mean, is they're the exception. Yeah. Kate Mara and Sebastian Stan, their whole thing could have been left out of this movie. Like, their whole, like, are they or aren't they, like, subplot?
No,
like,
they do.
Yeah, whatever. And I love Kate Mara. I absolutely love her so much.
She's fine.
Yeah, she is. But I love this movie. It was an also-ran because mine was more Chastain-heavy.
Right.
My number three... It's not just a Jessica Chastain movie. It's a Jessica Chastain, Oscar Isaac movie from 2014, written and directed by J.C. Chandor, who's becoming one of my favorite writer-directors right now. A Most Violent Year. Oscar Isaac is great in everything. Jessica Chastain is great in everything. So you put them together in this movie with a guy who knows how to write a paced action movie. Triple Frontier took a lot of crap because I think people wanted it to just be a these guys bang bang shoot 'em up movie. There was a lot more depth to it, a lot of character to it, and that's where Chandor kind of thrives.
Yeah, this is not a mob movie. Like, if you think it's going to be The Godfather.
Yeah, it's not. It's The Most Violent Year. It's not the
it's
most
not
violent,
a violent movie.
Movie
at all.
It's not the most violent movie. It is Oscar Isaac trying to protect his business. It takes place in 81, which was the most dangerous year in New York City. And it's her alongside him. It's a slow burn, but when you have two leads this capable, burn it as slow as you want because I'm there for it. And they both deliver. And it's rare for her to be out-acted, and I think she might be in this one only because he has more to do.
Yeah.
I mean, Take Shelter, she was only because he had more to do.
Yeah,
but
these
she,
are both male-driven movies.
But she's still right there. She's not just the wife. And as much as I love her, she's not the Judy Greer. You know, she's not there just to be like, oh, you're the wife or you're the girlfriend or you're the ex-wife. When she's there, she is somebody. She brings these characters to life and they're so good. And yeah, it's a slow burn. If you're expecting like The History of Violence or what was the other one, the Vigo one?
Eastern Promises?
Yeah. You're not getting those.
No.
No, you're not getting those.
Eastern Broken Promises.
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah. But it's a really, really good movie. I think Chandor is a great writer of characters, and when you get actors like this to play those characters, it delivers for sure.
As much as my number three was an ensemble, so is my number two. But this is one that mentioned she basically, for us, really came on the scene in 2011, and that was also the first time she was nominated for an Oscar. It was not Take Shelter, but she did get nominated for Tate Taylor's The Help, starring Chastain, Viola Davis, Octavia Spencer, and Emma Stone. There's a ton of talent in this movie. Viola Davis was nominated for Best Lead Actress. She did not win. Spencer won for Best Supporting, which meant that Chastain was also nominated in the same category. Could not win. The Help was also nominated for Best Picture that year. The Artist won. It was Chastain's first nomination. She would pick up another one a year later for my next movie.
And my next one.
Yeah. This is really a story about the maids in a segregated community, Jackson, Mississippi.
Shitting in a pie.
The terrible, awful. And for good reasons, those are the standout roles. When you think of this movie, Octavia Spencer and Viola Davis come to mind first. Because
it was Chastain and what, Emma Stone?
Mm-hmm. They were kind of on
was
that.
Was Wise in this? Rachel Wise in this movie? I've never seen it.
No, she. Okay. I don't believe she was, because essentially every female in this movie had red hair.
Okay.
Super weird. Chastain's Celia stands out as one of the few white characters that isn't a completely terrible, gutless person. She's also given a storyline that sees her gain the confidence she needs to stand up to the racist mean girls, just like Davis and Spencer. Bryce Dallas Howard is actually really good, which is not something I say often, but she is really good as the completely unredeemable Hilly who eats the shit pie to slice Hilly. She's just a bitch, and Hayward really lets you completely hate that character. She's a great heel in this movie. She may never turn in another performance like
this.
See,
she's one of those that I think, I like Dallas Howard. I think she's charming. I think she's, but then if I look at her filmography, that might change. If you ask me, do you like Bryce Dallas? Yeah. But I can't really name movies like that I like. Like the movies,
I like her in this, I will say.
Yeah,
that.
The movies I can mention I don't particularly like. But
yeah, maybe we don't need to do that.
Yeah. My number two is your number one. The next year, Zero Dark Thirty came out, directed by Kathryn Bigelow, who is one of my favorite directors of all time, written by Mark Boll, who she works phenomenally with, who is one of my favorite writers. He's on a tear. It's a real-life story about finding Osama bin Laden and destroying him. And Jessica Chastain, she's the
it's
one.
It's her life's mission.
Yeah, she's the motherfucker that found like the cast screams ensemble movie. You have Jason Clarke, Chris Pratt, Kyle Chandler, Jennifer Ellie, Harold Perrineau.
Edgerton.
It screams ensemble movie. Get like 5-10 minutes. This is a Jessica Chastain movie. And at the time, I remember it coming out and watching it thinking like, this is one of the best performances I've ever. She is so good in this movie. And I remember watching it thinking like, there's no way she doesn't win the Oscar this year. But was this Silver Linings Playbook year? Because I know there was somebody else that came out and was like, oh, it's one of those two. Because they were both really, really good. But this one, Bigelow knows what she's doing. She can direct action. She can direct the real life drama. She can slow burn it. This is an intense slow burn. One scene, they're at the table and it just all these great actors around. And it's just one of the most intense scenes with just a table full of great actors. It's Gandolfini. It's Jason Clarke. Don't remember if Duplass is there, but it's just this really great scene of just these men being men and just these great actors. And then she's just carrying this movie as just this badass. Yeah, who won 20?
It was the Jennifer Lawrence here for Silver Linings. Also nominated was Naomi Watts from The Impossible, and she was fantastic in that. And Quavon Zele Wallace
for
Beasts.
Yeah.
So that was a tough year, a real tough year.
And I still think that it was, I still think she was Jip. As good as Lawrence was that year, everybody was good that year.
Yeah, that might have been the only one that if you pick.
I mean, The Impossible is so good.
Yeah.
I thought Tom Holland was the best in that movie. He was the best actor in a movie where Ewan got a Golden Globe for a nomination, and then Naomi Watts got the Golden Globe and the Oscar nomination. He was the best actor in that movie where both your adult leads got nominations.
It was a movie he couldn't spoil either.
Yeah. I mean, just watching her in Zero Dark Thirty, I hate to say it, sounds so film snobbery, but like it's a masterclass in acting. Like she is so good and so intense, and she brings that intensity that she brought in Miss Sloan, but it's easier to relate because it's hard to disagree with her motive. The most important thing to her is this mission and this ending it, and she's not going to let anything stop it. And she's so, so good. And that's where she thrives, is in that kind of role. And Zero Dark Thirty let her deliver that.
Yeah, it's another one like Miss Sloan that if you don't get that performance, then it's an awful movie. And I say that it is my number one because she was nominated. It's her best performance. And she elevates the movie. Like so many times with these movies based on historical events, people have a problem because the accuracy is just not there. This did not have that problem. There was a congressional investigation into how the hell they knew the classified details that they did know. But where the movie struggles, I do think, is on Bigelow and the writer. This movie moves along so quickly. And they say names and locations that everyone on the screen, because it's their job, they know and they can follow. But as somebody who's watching it, there are many times where you get lost and you're like, wait, who's that? I feel like I should know this person. I don't. Where the hell are we at? Is that Osama? Did we get him? And
it's
body. Yeah, basically. I think when you look at that year, the film that did win Best Picture was a better example of a movie based on historic events that you could follow as Argo. You'd never got lost there the way I get lost. And I've seen Zero Dark Thirty a couple times. Can I tell you what happens? Yeah, they beat the shit out of some guy, and then they start pulling on some threads, and the next thing you know, Chris Pratt's there with some seals and completely shredded. They shoot Osama, and
where's the body?
She flies home.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. That's the plot. I don't know how they got there. They did.
I liked it. And I mean, I like Bull. I like Bigelow. I could see there being pacing issues here. Maybe it was too fast. I don't know. I would disagree. This is controversial of me. I would disagree that it's her strongest performance.
Fair.
As much as I talked up how fucking phenomenal and powerful she is in Zero Dark Thirty, the completely overlooked, written and directed by Aaron Sorkin, which screams, hey, Oscars, pay attention to me.
Yeah.
Starring Jessica Chastain, which screams, Oscars, pay attention to me. Based on a true life story that's a fascinating story, which screams, hey, Oscars, pay attention to me. Guess who didn't pay attention to 2017's Molly's Game? Written and directed by Aaron Sorkin, starring Jessica Chastain, Idris Elba, Kevin Costner, Michael Cera, who is awesome in this movie, Chris O'Dowd. Maybe I'm biased. I mean, this is one of those where when you're into a story and you remember a story happening and you follow the story, not just when it's in the news, but you follow up on the story later on, and it hits with you. When a movie comes out about it, maybe it's like Compliance is a good example. I followed that case, so when that movie came out, okay, obviously I'm into it. Been into that case, and it was so close. I love the Molly Bloom story. This girl is a top skier in the world, one of the best skiers alive. Her brother is a world-class athlete. They're from a family who was built to succeed. All you can do in this family is succeed. And she ends up just running these million-dollar poker games stacked with famous people that good luck finding the real names of these people. But, like, it's a fascinating story. Her book is great. The book that this was based on, Sorkin did an amazing job of taking it and running with it and gave everybody a lot to do. Player X is Michael Cera, who rumor has it is Tobey Maguire, is awesome. Like, it's Michael Cera like you haven't seen Michael Cera. It's so good, but it's not as intense of a performance as
much different movies
as like Zero Dark Thirty or even Miss Sloan. She is this kind of this girl that has everything, that has had everything, but she's this underdog, and she's this Olympic champion who has the cards stacked against her, and she plays that really, really well. And yeah, you know what she's doing is wrong. You know what she's doing is illegal, but you want to see her succeed, and you don't want to see it come crashing down. And it's just a really, really good movie. Sorkin's script, I do have some issues with Sorkin at times. I don't think the script is too Sorkin-y. I feel like he did a really good job focusing on the material and not Sorkinizing it. He stayed close to it, and he still added his dialogue that's really good, and he gave her plenty to do. I mean, obviously, like, if you know anything about the story, playing Molly Bloom would be a killer for any actress. But this is another one of those. If you don't get that kind of performance from that kind of actress, it's not going to be any. If you put Bryce Dallas Howard as Molly Bloom, you know, it's not the same movie. It's still a fascinating story. It's still compelling. The supporting cast is maybe enough that, like, maybe it's worth a watch. But Molly's Game is one of those that at the end I watch, and, like, if I didn't know anything about the Oscar, if I watched this movie and you told me, like, oh, it won best screenplay, best actress, best picture, like, it won all that, I'd be like, I understand why. I can't imagine better movies coming out that year. I really think it is that good of a movie, and it's because of her. Yeah, Elba and the supporting cast is great, but it's a Jessica Chastain movie, and I feel like it's her best performance, because where we talked about, like, Miss Sloan wasn't the best person. She knew what she wanted, though. Zero Dark Thirty, she was so focused. Molly Bloom is kind of lost. All she knows how to do is win. And she's in a situation where maybe she isn't. So it's a different kind of performance from her, where I feel like she's more vulnerable. She's not this as intense of a performance, but it's really, really good. And it's such a well-made movie. And, you know, I'm on board for Sorkin as a director if he makes stuff like this. I don't know why. I feel like I'm the only one that watched Molly's Game. I really do, because I don't know how you could have watched this movie and think like, yeah, it doesn't need any Oscar noms or whatever it got. Like, it didn't, maybe did it even get screenplay? I don't know how you watch this and think, yeah, that doesn't deserve any awards.
Any also-rans that
I have a couple,
that weren't my list.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Take Shelter and The Martian were the only ones that were on your list. Huntsman, Winter's War, you know, I like. So you have the Snow White and the Huntsman movie,
yeah,
where the Huntsman overshadows Snow White. So you give the Huntsman a spinoff movie where the supporting cast overshines the Huntsman. Hemsworth was the weakest part of that movie. Theron and Blunt, and then Jessica Chastain is like his warrior partner. I mean, it was fun for what it was. It was a different performance from her, because this one she almost kind of got to let loose. All of them did. These awesome female leads just got to let loose and be awesome, and it was cool to see Jessica Chastain do that. And then The Debt, I think that was the first thing I ever saw her in, was from 2009.
Yeah, and I don't... That was an also-ran only because I'm not certain if I saw it.
Yeah,
I think I did.
She plays a young Helen Mirren, and this was in peak Sam Worthington ruins everything he touches phase, and he's in this for a little bit, but it's a Helen Mirren movie. It's really cool how it's done, though. It's Jessica Chastain and Worthington. And
it's a little like It.
A little bit, yeah. Except you have them in the 30s and then the 60s, and it cuts back and forth between the two. She was good in that. It's a slow movie. But, I mean, this is at the time where I'm like, Tinker, Sailor, Soldier, Spy was my jizz. I love that movie. That's, like, the slowest-paced movie ever. Those are just the ones I called out. There's other stuff that she's in that, like, I liked.
She's good in Interstellar. I didn't love the movie, and I already had a Spaceman movie on there, so I didn't need to.
Yeah.
Lawless is not good.
No.
But she's good in it.
I'll always like Jessica Chastain. I mean, those five movies, like, I love. Like, it's going to be hard for her to top any of those, but I'm sure she will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next week.
Speaking of movies that nobody saw, and how the hell did that not get off?
Yes! Yes! Oh, my God, I forgot. I was going to look up what we were doing next week, but yep. I remember now. Like, speaking of, like, a movie that you watch, and it's like, oh, this won every Oscar. Oh, I believe it. We're talking about Karen Kusama's Destroyer from last year. I don't know why. The Destroyer comes out, and Nicole Kidman's probably inside. I don't know. I don't know why we're doing Destroyer next
Who cares?
Week. Yeah, but it's Destroyer. It's Karen Kusama. We've done The Invitation, which is another Kusama movie. Mm-hmm. Destroyer was one of those that I called in our fall preview where it's like, oh, that's going to be an Oscar nom for Nicole Kidman. And if you watch the movie, it's like, oh, that's an Oscar nom for Nicole Kidman. Spoiler alert, they're idiots. So next week, we are going to talk about Karen Kusama's Destroyer from last year. If you have not seen it, it is on Hulu. It's like $5.99 a month, dude. That one-time fee of $5.99 for the month is enough. Watch Destroyer if you haven't, and join us next week when we talk about Destroyer. But until then,
keep it up. $4 on Prime if you want to rent it.
That's $5.99 for Hulu.
Yeah, you can save a dollar. Just, I mean, you can watch it either way.